to the parade with them right at that particular time. And then later you wonder, why did they come up to me? What was so special about me that made them come to me? Of all these people in here, why would they say something to me? But then you think about it, isn't that what we're supposed to be here for? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what the Lord's supposed to do? Use us? So we have to put ourselves in a frame of mind where we have to be willing to leave ourselves open to allow the Lord to use us just like we are clay. He molds us, shapes us, puts us in a particular place at a particular time that we can do stuff and say stuff to help somebody along their way. Maybe we can point them in the direction of Christ. Maybe we can bring them into the fold. Maybe we can just plant a seed. But for whatever purpose the Lord has in store for us, we allow him to use us and not be judgmental as to the fact of, well, I would have said something to them, but they're not going to listen to what I said. Or I can't talk like somebody else. I wish so-and-so was here, because they could really tell them something. God got you right where he wants you to be, and he wants to use you. We have to have that desire as the author of this lesson that I took this from used the Psalm 42, where as we sing that song sometimes about the deer that pants for the water. And we have to always be in the position to be wanting God, seeking God, looking for how he wants to use us, and leaving ourselves open. Now, sometimes we can think that we are in a good situation that we should say something, but that may not be the time that we should say something. That's not what God wants. Sometimes we may feel like we're going through a storm, as we like to call it, when we have problems that we are facing, and we are searching for God. That's when sometimes the Lord has put another brother or sister or someone else that he's to his liking that he wants to use to put in our life to uplift us, to give us courage for what we need to go through the storm. Now, a lot of times when we pray, we don't get the result that we're looking for at the time that we pray. And we think that, well, where is the Lord? I've been praying about this situation, and I'm asking the Lord to change the situation, but I don't see where, if anything, is getting worse. You know, it may not be a health problem. It could be a situation with a family member. Could be a situation with a neighbor. Could be a situation with a friend or a coworker. Could be a situation of a situation where I can think of a situation that I dealt with or had experienced 4th of July. Seemed like a few of my neighbors want to get out and shoot fireworks in an area that's too close to my house or too close to my vehicle. And I can't go out there with an attitude, because all I'm going to do is escalate the problem. I don't want to be the type of person that's get on the phone and call the police, because, again, they may think that it's me because of the fact that they know how I live, and they probably say, this is me thinking, they probably say, oh, here he comes again, Mr. Goody Goody Two Shoes, because they see that me and my wife go to church. We don't get out in the street, and you don't hear us cussing and fussing. It's just our lifestyle. Hopefully, we'll show them that we are not living the way that they live. You don't hear our music blasting loud, and we don't do a lot of the things that they may do, that other people in the neighborhood and the area do. So we are different, and they can see that we're different. So quite naturally, if the police come up, mostly everybody in the neighborhood is out there except us, so 2 plus 2, it's got to be him. my assumption. But the fact that you could be going through any type of situation and you're praying to the Lord to change it, and he's not moving fast enough for you, or he's not answering your prayer, what do we do? Do we stop praying? No. We continue to pray, and we pray for the Lord to change the situation, or do we pray for the Lord to give us patience, to give us the help that we need, because we have a thorn on our side at a particular time, and we need the Lord's deliverance to help us to bear it. Sometimes it's not necessary that the situation needs to be changed. We need to be able to bear it, and bear it in a fashion that will be pleasing to the Lord. So we look to the Lord continuously, but we sometimes pray, Lord, have you forgotten me? And, you know, or we think in the back of our mind, is the Lord forgotten me, because I'm still asking for relief and he's not answering my prayer. You got a comment?
When Sarah was waiting for the child,
mm-hmm.
25 years
mm-hmm.
before that prayer was answered.
Mm-hmm.
25 years. So.
Takes great patience.
And again, it's God's time.
Right. That's the main thing.
It's God's time. So, again, to help us understand that God does answer prayer.
Yes, he does.
In his own time and his own way.
Mm-hmm.
And like we learned yesterday in Ladies' Day, oh my goodness, there is that verse again. Be still and know that I am God. And
right.
As Tina told us, surrender to him. There may be things in our lives that aren't right yet before we need to be asking for something.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we need to examine ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And his time is always better than our time. And if we surrender to his will, he will answer us bigger and better than we can either think or imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I mean, when you've had something for so long, maybe it's something that we need to be learning ourselves, something in our lives that we need to change, or we need to be more humble in his sight. You know, there's something. There's always something.
Yes.
But sometimes, too, when you were talking about the fireworks thing, sometimes we overthink a problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We know what they're going to say, but we don't know what someone else is going to think. They may have honored you for stepping up. Maybe they were a little nervous about their own cars. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we do that, and I've done that so many times. I think, they're going to do. I don't know.
That's right.
I don't know what they're going to do. Just do what the Lord would do, and let God take over.
Patience is the thing.
Again, we need to grow in our maturity and our spiritual walk and our faith. All that has to be coordinated to uplift us, to give us the courage and wisdom to stand up for what is right. Because, again, the situation may be God needed you or us to be that light.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to know that, yes, that what you're doing is wrong.
Yes.
And you could wind up in a lot of trouble. And again, we need to develop the courage that God gives us. Now, let me caveat back to what with Sarah waiting the 25 years. They didn't know when God was going to answer their prayer. But we're fortunate in knowing that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And we also are privileged to know it took him 25 years for whatever reason. But what happened in between them? That Sarah did,
mm-hmm.
because she would not wait mm-hmm. on the Lord.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Again, we are our own worst.
We're human. No excuse, but still,
that's right.
It's still a fact.
Again, back to answering prayer, that God may not answer your prayer because there's sin in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in your heart or in the family unit, or in the congregation, God is not pleased, and he won't answer your prayer until you take care of the sin, or your attitude, or lack of faith, lack of courage, all those things. Because he will not give you something that you're not ready for.
Right.
If you're immature, you're immature. You're not ready for it. Because God is a loving Father. mm-hmm. that he won't give you what you
not everything you can answer. Yes, that's true.
Well, I was going to say, look at David, how long he prayed, remaining sackcloth and ashes, mm-hmm. praying for his child. And then when the child passed away, he ceased from doing that. But he prayed until the answer came.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to do the same. And we have to remember, when we pray, you may get the answer you didn't ask for. Because it's not about us and what we want. It's about God's will and what he wants.
Good point. Good point. Brian, we didn't come back here.
The biggest thing is, if he answers prayers too quickly, we tend to take credit for
it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We tend to take credit for his early answered prayers. And the Lord, a lot of the times, teaches us a lesson at our disparity that we have to recognize that it was God-given.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we try to, with Sarah and others we talked about just now, we try to fix it before God tries to fix it.
Yeah.
He lets us not be successful, so when that time comes, you have no doubt, like Sarah at her age, she laughed that I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
It's proved that that was a God-given gift. Mm-hmm. And so often with our struggles in life, We gotta put our mindset in the right place.
Right.
As soon as we recognize, that's a lot of times where I think we can get our prayers answered quicker if we recognize where it's truly coming from mm-hmm. our heart, that it's God-given. Mm-hmm. Until that time comes, I don't think he's going to answer a lot of prayers because we like to take credit for stuff.
That's true. Very good point.
Yeah. I was just thinking, too, one more example. The Lord himself said, Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will.
Right.
And I think that should be our bottom line. Lord, I'd really like to get through this problem, but not my will, your will be done. And so the Lord himself showed us, you know, have that right heart, have that humble heart, whatever it is you're going through, that you need his help. Just give it to him and let him work out things that are wonderful.
Yes, they're beyond our control. Very good points. All of them very good points. Which brings us to the point of what we're doing and in the process of doing. Hopefully by now we all have at some point, if we haven't gotten anything else out of our study since Jerry has started this study, we have learned the value of wisdom mm-hmm. and patience mm-hmm. from learning the Lord's way. Number one, you're going to get the wisdom to be smart enough to know to wait on him and to have the patience the patience to hold fast until he answers your prayer. And in that process, we'll find out that in most cases, when he answers our prayer, this is not, as you said, it's not the way that we perceive it to be. We can pray and say, Lord, if you can just do this, mm-hmm. give me this, help me do that. Almost like saying, part to see again so that I can walk through. And he sends you a boat. You know, you wasn't even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That, you just wanted to, your vision was, you just open up a way, I'd get there. And he said, okay, here you go. Throw yourself on the cross. And sometimes we even miss, I don't want that. You know, because I want to prove to the Lord that I'm able and I'm willing and I'll walk through there if he just opened it up. And he's still letting you know that it's easy. Yes.
I was going to say, we also have to remember that God don't just arbitrarily answer prayers.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a reason behind his answer, whether it be to teach us something or to keep us from doing a big mistake, mm-hmm. there's always a reason behind it.
Yes.
And, you know, like we learned yesterday, to be still and to meditate on God and who he is and how he interacts with us, I think teaches us that God never answers prayers to satisfy him.
Except by man.
he satisfies man, but in a way that they have a benefit out of it, not just because they want what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's for his benefit,
right,
a good benefit, that he will answer the prayers, even if he has to say no, or mm-hmm. even if he, I'm going to teach you a lesson with his answer.
Right.
There is always a good reason for man behind it. It's never to harm or detract from the love that he has for mankind.
Okay.
I don't know about.
Yeah, I understand. And right, I hope everybody else does understand what you're saying. One moment. On that point of what you're saying, this because of the purpose of what we're praying for, we want our fulfillment.
Yeah.
But God is going to answer prayers for his fulfillment. Like, this is what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
If what you're praying for is in contradiction,
with,
I think I'm
will,
saying that right, yeah, to his will, then no. You're not going to get it, even though you may get a portion of it. You may get some of it. Is that what I just used? If his will was not for you to walk through, he sent you the boat. So that's a whole lot better. Less effort in my point, because from my point of view, because I might get halfway and my leg give out, you know. So I can sit in a boat and roll myself across, which the Lord was looking out for that, you know. But I didn't think of it, you know. But it's got to be in accordance with his will for him to answer the prayer. And we can't be selfish, which I'm going to say something about that in a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, our obligation and privilege is to learn to wait on the Lord
mm-hmm.
and not quit
mm-hmm.
on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get those two mixed up.
Right.
And again, our Lord is the author of wonderful love beyond comprehension. But in truth be told, he's also the author of tough love.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. Good point.
What Judy was talking about was when he said, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you.
Mm-hmm. And his ways is not our ways. So we have to look to his ways,
yes,
not what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sometimes people will come to, they will look at the fact that because I'm praying for a particular thing, a situation, and I'm doing everything that I think is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I pray, I come to church, I give, I live right, I don't steal, I don't rob, you know, I don't do what I see other people doing. So I feel like I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. Sort of like the rich young ruler. I'm doing everything. So when I pray to the Lord and ask for something, why don't I still get it? You know, as if the Lord owed me because I've done everything that he told me to do, or everything that I know that is right to do. So I'm looking for that fulfillment of getting my prayer answered. But it's not being answered, and I wonder why. It's because we're not looking, we're looking to God as it's been said many times before, as if God is like a genie in a bottle. You know, I did everything I was supposed to do. So now when I come to you and ask you for to bless me with this, you don't bless me. Well, why you answer my prayer, Lord? I can't see where I did anything wrong. And I've been doing everything I know is right. And I pray to you, and you still don't answer my prayer. I'm still suffering. So, why is that? Go ahead.
Were you looking at my notes while I was making today's sermon?
it's the grace of God. It seems like it always happens, you know. It runs together. And I wouldn't be surprised if some songs run along with your sermon, too. But really. But that's one of the things we have to learn, too. It gives, this author gave an example of a person, and I don't know who this is, Wilbur Reese, but he uses the words of this particular person, Wilbur Reese. I would like to buy $3 worth of God. Not enough to explode my soul or to disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want warmth of the womb, not a rebirth, or not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God. Again, we want what we want instead of wanting what the Lord wants. Yes.
You know, and you said that right, but now I lost my train of thought. It's gone.
It'll come back. It'll come back. Yes.
Oh, Wesley, when you were saying that about, you know, doing everything and wondering what's in it for me,
mm-hmm.
the verse that came to mind was in Luke 17, talking about the servant doing what he was supposed to do. And in verse 10, it says, so you also, Jesus said, when you've done everything, come to church, give, do da 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 da, we should say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. We're not Christians looking for what we can get out of it, except the fact that the Lord's blood saved us and we have a home within heaven. Mm-hmm. There's nothing on this planet that's worth that. Nothing that can equal to that. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Don't ever have that feeling because you've got the wrong attitude right there.
That's right. That's right. Come on.
What I meant to say is, you know, a lot of times we ask for God to change the situation we are in,
mm-hmm.
when we really should have been praying for Him to change us, to look at the situation in a different way.
We need the strength and the perseverance
exactly.
to continue on and hold up under the pressure, not to change the situation.
Yes. And again, as we study and come to remember, that's our challenge, is to remember what is also written in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
He will never, ever give you more than
you can
handle.
Yes.
Never.
Yeah.
It's all on you now.
Well, we can make things worse by trying to help God. As you mentioned, with Sarah, you know, and we try to do it because, oh, I got this, I can handle this, you know, I can do this. And I think, okay, I got a situation. Let me think about it. The Lord gave me a brain. Let me think about it. What can I do? Okay, I got this solution. That's number one. That ain't bad. Come up with another solution. That's a little bit better. I could do that. And one more solution I got, I could go that way. I really don't want to go that way because that's going to require me to do more work. But, you know, the first two solutions are not too bad. So I pick the best ones for me. I don't have to exert myself too much. Still get the benefit that I want. And I solve the problem. Hey, I didn't even have to pray for that. You know, it just came to my mind. And then we get in the middle of it, and everything goes wrong. Man, we stuck, you know. And what you going to do? As the saying goes, who you going to call? So now we pray. I mean, we really pray. Because, number one, Lord, I need you to get me out of this situation that I got myself in. And number two, I still need you to fix the problem from the jump street, because I haven't done anything but made it work. Yes.
So, conversation, as we have written in the scripture,
mm-hmm.
God is talking to Job. In the term, verse 4. Job 38, verse 4. I'm just going to read it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? on what word is basis sunk, or who laid his cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Mm-hmm.
We need to remember our place.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
We are the created. We're not the created for. God does not need our advice.
That's it. All too often, we go to the Lord when it's the last result. You know, instead of going to him first, we go to him at the last. I can attest to a situation where I wanted a truck so bad that a friend of mine came to me and said, "Man, I heard you was looking for a truck. I got one." Went, looked at the truck, didn't have no dents in it. The interior just needed to be cleaned up a little bit because it had been sitting for a while. Started it up, it ran, it sounded good. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to buy this truck." Just had a little few little amount of things that needed to be done with on this hood wire. Went to get it, come to find out the truck didn't have no brakes. Stupid me. I'm going off of my friendship, mm-hmm. whereas if it had been anybody that I didn't know, the first thing I would say, "Well, let me try it." Mm-hmm. I'm going off of friendship. So needless to say, I got stuck with that one. Didn't? Yes.
And you forgot to tell me all about it.
There you go, right there.
Yes. That's that. Yes, I got to tell her all about it.
You didn't tell me.
Yeah. Now, Brother Wesley's remembering that quote, "Forgive and forget."
Girl, that brings to mind, I'm familiar, but I ain't going to forget it if it's a seat. But all the same time, I didn't go to the Lord first and ask, you know, "Lord, help me do this." So, I got stuck. The truck I have now, it's got dents in it. I'm just happy with it. I started the truck, and the first thing I did was pray, "Lord, if this be for me, let me be able to get it." Mm-hmm. I got it. I've had it, I would say around about estimate, maybe a year and a half, almost 2 years. Haven't had no problem with it. It's been running great. It got some dents in it, but I don't care. It's the best truck I have had, still got, still running. But I know I went to the Lord and I told her about it first, too. So, we try to step in and do what we think we can do because we think we can have it. Whereas, we can't do anything without the Lord's help. And all too often, we take it for granted, just like the air we breathe. You know, frustrated. I'm just tired. All this time, I'm still breathing. You know, I mean, it's not like I'm mad. I'm still breathing. Good air. Take it for granted. It's going to be there. And once we realize who God is, how important he is. Mm-hmm. That humbles us in a sense by itself, that we can be, in turn, be able to uplift someone else. When we have went through some storms, when we can uplift others that go through storms, might not be the same storm that we have experienced, but we can't uplift nobody else when we're feeling bad and we're going through something. Mm-hmm. You know? So, when the Lord puts us in a place to be used, we have to allow ourselves to be able to be used. Yes.
Sometimes when we are feeling bad, we can't lift someone else up because that's lifting us up. You know, sometimes we can. Sometimes you're just so low, you be just like, "I can't do it. You know, mm-hmm. I can't help you." You know, I don't tell a person this because I have been low. I can't help, you know, one else. until I get me straight. But I have been low when people have came to me. And I'm right on point one because God is working through me. Mm-hmm. Forget about you. You gonna be okay. You all right.
Mm-hmm.
This person need you to tell my will. Mm-hmm. You know. So sometimes we have to get out our own feelings
right.
to help someone else because it ain't all that bad. It might seem, you know, sometimes. You know, we always have to be ready when God said move, we have to be ready regardless of how you feel. He's going to move you. He's going to move you if you want to move you.
That's true. So, as we said, you know. Have to be willing to be open mm-hmm. to let the Lord use you.
Well, I was just thinking about in John 21,
mm-hmm.
when the Lord tells Peter how the destiny will have to glorify Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns around and asks him, what about him? And he's talking about John. And the Lord said to him, what is it to you?
Right.
You know, if I want him to stay alive until I come again, that's what's going to happen. It's not, basically what he's saying, it's not what you want.
Right.
It's what I, or what the Lord wants, what God wants.
Right.
And I think we have to remember that, even when we go to him in prayer and want certain things. It's not about all what I want, it's what the Lord wants for me. To have or to do or to see whatever we're praying for.
Mm-hmm.
It's never about us. It's about him.
That's a good point. Some people don't want to see someone else prosper mm-hmm. better than they do, especially mm-hmm. if they did something to help them mm-hmm. along the way because they feel like they should get some recognition. As if I don't know a situation like that, but I'm just putting this out there as an example. You bring someone into the church. You know, you tell them about the Lord, you bring them in, and they change their life and start following the Lord. Then they start working in the church and doing stuff. And people are praising them, congratulating them on what they're doing. And you sit back and say, I don't want to brought them on in here. You know? And they congratulate them. If it weren't for me, they wouldn't be here. That is the devil creeping in,
yes.
You know, and we have to guard against that all the time. Because just a little bit would, you know, we're supposed to, if we're doing work for the Lord and they're being praised, then we praise them too. Because it's not praise to them, it's praise to God. That's what we all working for, the rays of God.
Well, you know, you look at the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they went out to heal and they want to praise them and, they flat told them, it's not me that's doing this. It's Christ working through me.
Mm-hmm.
If it wouldn't be for Christ, I wouldn't be able to do this.
That's true.
You know, if it wouldn't be for God, I wouldn't take the next breath.
That's true.
And we have to remember that.
Yeah.
That anything within ourselves wouldn't function if it wouldn't be for God's to will it to do so.
That's true. We are human. And we can see from example. Even like you said, the disciples, even two of them went to Jesus. One wanted to be seated on the left, one wanted to be seated on the right. Which club was that going to put them, you know, in reference to the other disciples? You're going to give them some more clout, you know.
Yeah.
One of us sit on your left hand, one sit on my hand. We ain't think about the rest of the disciples, you know. That's where we want to sit. So we have to guard against that. Yes.
There are two things that everybody's going to learn, mm-hmm. without a doubt. An understanding that God is
mm-hmm.
and that his will be done.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
We're just blessed to know that now.
Yes.
Yes.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes, go ahead.
I know we've all been praying that the Covingtons will stay, but they have to move on and pass that wonderful gospel that he preaches to other people for his glory, and we sure enjoy having them here, so it's not my will, but the Lord's will be done, that they'll be able to touch lives wherever they go. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And anyone who goes out to do the Lord's work is is doing a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doing wonderful things for him.
Let me say, it's been a blessing for us to be here too. Mm-hmm. And what I hope that you can do is find a bit of passion. The things that I spoke about were hopefully to ignite some passion, because it's required in Christians. Mm-hmm. You know, we find to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Mm-hmm. All like in Christianity, a lot of times, to athletic events, like pressing on to the goal, the prize of the high calling. Run the race, fight the good fight. Mm-hmm. It requires to be a faithful Christian. It's more than showing up on Sunday, Wednesday, going through the motions. Mm-hmm. And if you have lost passion for Christianity, you've got to find it.
Yeah.
The prophets, when you go back and read the prophets, I've actually thumbing through here and found the verse that I was looking for. Zephaniah, in his day, this is what the people were going to be punished for. He said, "I will punish those who are settled in their complacency." Mm.
Oh, what verse is that?
That's Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12.
Okay.
And so, complacency is a soul killer. Mm-hmm. Passion, you've got to have passion for your Christianity, or else we're going to fail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I know for a fact, and I think I can speak for everyone here who says, Sister just voiced her opinion also. I'm very confident in the fact that wherever you go, as long as you're doing God's work, it's going to flourish, and people are going to benefit from it. And we truly have been blessed to the fact that you've been here. You know, sure, we hate to see you go. We wish you could stay with us. But as the other sister said, it's not our will, it's what the Lord's will. Mm-hmm. But our prayers will definitely be going with you. And I'm very confident in knowing and believing that the Lord still got some more for you to do. You know, so I'm going to end this with this one thing left that the author put in here. A young man who was seeking God went to a wise old mentor for help. "How can I find God?" he asked the old man. The old man took him to a nearby river. Out they waded into the deep water. As soon as the water was deep enough, the old man grabbed the young man by the neck and pushed him under the water. He held the young man down until the young man was frail in the water in desperation. Another minute and he may well have drowned. When the young man stopped coughing and gasping for air, he asked his mentor indignantly, "What did that have to do with my finding God? Are you crazy?" The old man asked him quietly, "While you were under the water, what did you want more than anything else?" The young man thought for a minute and then answered, "I wanted air." The old man replied, "When you want God as much as you want air, you will find him." That is in desperation. Mm-hmm. But do we live in desperation each day? As the brother always puts it, we're one day closer to being in our eternal home. But do we live in desperation? Now, maybe we don't go to that extreme every day, but as the other brother just said, we have to have that passion, that fire in us, that wherever we see opportunity. And as I said when I started this lesson, it may be in just a conversation with someone, could be a family member, could be a friend, co-worker, could be anybody. You may start a conversation, the conversation may have already been started. And same way us men can push and turn a conversation around to football, basketball, baseball, and I don't know how y'all women turn the conversation around to stuff I imagine would be cooking and recipes and babies and stuff like that. But you can turn the conversation around to what you want to talk about when you want to talk about it. You can also turn it around to the Lord. You have that opportunity. And if someone says, "Oh, I don't want to talk about that," you just still sowed your seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you shake the dust off your feet and you move on. But that's all the Lord requires us to do. Be vigilant. Be steadfast. That's my lesson this morning. I hope it benefits you all. Thank you for your comments. And you have the lesson.